the story, the real life story of Jesus, who lived, who died, and who rose again. A story of life and faith that is at the heart of Easter. And typically, in recent times, we have the M&M giver, Mr. Red. He's taking a back seat today because there's Easter eggs on offer. And the point there is, what word? We have a word to identify whether you're young or young at heart. How many times is a certain word said by me in this sermon? And what other word could it be today than risen or rose or rise? So if you want some bonus consumption of Easter eggs, see me afterwards and tell me how many times I use the word rise, rose, or risen. But seven simple, life-changing words were spoken by the angels at the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning. Verse 6, as Craig read it to us, "He is not here, he is risen." He's not here, he's risen. As followers of Jesus, we celebrate that today. But when they first heard these words, the first followers of Jesus weren't actually celebrating. Quite the opposite. Some of them were considering, or they were wondering. They seemed puzzled. Verse 4 speaks about how that was true for the women. It says, while they were wondering about this, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, and then the angels came and appeared to them. Verse 12, we see Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. There's no talk of celebrating. There's wondering, almost this sense of confusion, this sense of just considering what's going on. And almost certainly, this sense of cynicism was there as well. Verse 11, what do we read? It says, when the women came back to the disciples saying that he'd risen, that the other followers of Jesus did not believe the women. Their words to them seemed like nonsense, it says. Their words to them seemed like nonsense. Jesus, not being dead but having risen, didn't make sense to them. It didn't match their experience. It didn't match their expectations. It didn't match their equation of how life worked. The Easter story, at this point in their lives, had not come alive for them. Jesus had risen, Jesus had come alive, but the Easter story had not come alive for them. Their focus was in the wrong places. As the second part of verse 6 says, it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? They were focused in the wrong place, and their fear was very real. That can still be true for any of us today. There is lots about life in our world that doesn't make sense. And someone rising from the dead seems unbelievable. So the question is, has the Easter story, with the resurrection of Jesus as the linchpin, not just of the Easter story, but indeed of the Christian faith, has that come alive for you? Perhaps that hasn't quite yet matched with your experience or your expectations or your equation of how life works or should work, just like it was for those first disciples. But what we discover as we take a closer look today is that as that first Easter Sunday unfolded for those first disciples, the Easter story did come alive for them, as it can for any of us still today. How does this take place, though? Three things we want to look at briefly as to how that takes place. To start with, it takes place not removed from life's realities, but in the midst of them. Not removed from life's realities, but right in the midst of life's realities. Some time ago, I took part in an escape room challenge. Anybody else here done an escape room challenge? A few of you have. It's quite an experience. You're placed in this themed room with a storyline, and you have to work out how to escape out of there following the clues that you're given within a certain period of time. Now, if you don't make it within the time, you don't get trapped there forever. and if you're not looking like you're going to get out any time within the time frame, they start to ramp up the number of clues you're given and hints. But the reality is that the Easter story, on the one hand, features the ultimate escape. As Jesus conquered what no one else was able to, he conquered the power of sin and death to rise again on that first Easter Sunday. But on the other hand, this real-life story of resurrection is something that takes place in the midst of, not removed from, life's realities and messiness. What do we read in the reading as Craig read to us? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So the women were there in the midst of life. They were there with this sense of sorrow as they went to the tomb. And as we read into verses 13, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. And they were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He came up and he walked along with them. That's what Jesus is like. He comes up and he walks along with us on the road of life, just as he did with those first followers. Resurrection, life and truth does not exist in spite of or instead of our life circumstances that we find ourselves in. But indeed, resurrection, life and truth is because of and in the midst of those life realities. What was the setting that would be the beginning of the Easter story coming alive for those first disciples? The setting was one of heartache. The setting was one of sorrow. The women, as I said, coming to the tomb to embalm Jesus' body. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, walking along with their faces downcast. The life-giving message of the risen Jesus is found in the midst of sorrow and suffering, in the midst of life's messiness and challenges, not apart from them. The Easter story comes alive in our lives, not by our circumstances changing necessarily, but by us being changed in the midst of those circumstances. As we come to see Jesus, the risen Jesus, walking with us, speaking to us on the road of life itself. As the risen Jesus reveals himself to us, opens our eyes so that we discover more of his resurrected presence and his resurrection power. That leads into a second aspect of how the Easter story comes alive. Not simply through believing it, but through living it. Not simply believing it, but living it. During the week, I was with Pastor Kath. We were connecting together, and I think I better take this call. It was a help dad call from my daughter. And she was stuck on the ground floor. She's in a little apartment on a higher level, and she was stuck on the ground floor with a lounge that she'd had delivered that wouldn't fit in the lift. And she needed to get that lounge up to a higher level to her little apartment. The delivery guy said, "That's not our issue, we just deliver it." And she thought it would come all disassembled, and it wasn't disassembled. It wouldn't even fit in the lift. Help Dad. But when it comes to the good news of the Easter story, some people get stuck on the ground floor of disbelief. That was the case even with these first disciples. But others get stuck on the ground floor of not living out the Easter story in the midst of daily life. Because the risen Jesus makes it possible for us to live out our daily lives differently. He makes it possible, no matter what our circumstances are, for us to have a different sense of what it means to live life. And the risen Jesus makes it possible for us to live at a higher level than being stuck continually at a place of fear and failure, or being stuck continually at a place where barriers and burdens that we can't seem to get past. And this is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1. Where Paul says in verse 18 and 19, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that what? That you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and what? And his incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Is that a reality in your life? Are you living in such a way where you not only know the risen Jesus and his presence, but you know the resurrection power of Jesus as a part of your daily life? The Easter story only comes alive as it becomes our story, being lived out, not simply believed, as it becomes a part of our hearts, not just our heads, as we understand how the risen Jesus can make such a difference in the midst of life, not only our past, our present, but our future. And it's not because of what we do, but it's because of what God has done through Jesus and his resurrection power at work in us. What good is it to us if the stone has been rolled away from Jesus' tomb, but not ours? What good is it to us if Jesus is free of his grave clothes that bound him, but we are still living bound by things that need have no hold on us because of the resurrection power of Jesus? The Easter story comes alive, not removed from the midst of life's realities, but in the midst of it. Not simply through believing, but living it. But thirdly and finally, not always instantly, but over time. It took time for these words, "He is not here, he is risen," to sink in for those early followers of Jesus that first Easter Sunday. They didn't grasp it at first. It took time. Whether it was the women, whether it was Peter, or whether it was the other disciples on the road to Emmaus, as we look at what it says there, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And then across into verses 31 and 32, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be slow to take things in. We all can. And the resurrection of Jesus and the Easter story becoming alive for us is something that even the first disciples, it took them time to take that in. God is always at work, whether we recognize it or not. But the Easter story coming alive in our hearts and lives can be a process in our lives. It's not always just an instant thing. It's a process as fear is replaced by faith, despair by hope, confusion by clarity about the risen Jesus and all that means for our lives, past, present, and future. The other story of Easter is this. As the video said, that Jesus stitches up the gap. Jesus reveals himself to us, restores and redeems all that is not as it should be in our lives and in our world. And Jesus extends his palm to us. What are you going to do in response? Has the Easter story come alive for you? There's no better day for that to happen than on Easter Sunday, and I'd love to chat further with any of you about that. But we're going to hear now from a few different people about how the Easter story has come alive for them. So as we wrap up this time, you're going to hear firsthand from some people as to how the Easter story has come alive for them. I'm going to hand over to Michelle as she facilitates that time.